Good afternoon, my dear fellow travelers on the infinite plane of the transcendental realm we call Earth. Good afternoon to all you folks on this September the 26th, 2019. Oh, what dark creatures move our way. Oh, what strange forces of infinite regret. Oh, what banshees scream in the night when we realize that our own failures are just a memory to the demons of our sadness. Yeah, you're out there, you're thinking to yourself, why isn't Dan drinking? Why isn't Dan out there drinking? And before I go too deep into any particular topic, and of course we should stay on topics because that's what the Prussian educational system would demand, and we don't want to disappoint poor old Otto. That's Otto von Bismarck. Yeah, let's not disappoint the Prussians or the Prussian educational system. So, for all intents and purposes, if we're going to have a podcast, we better stay on fucking topic. And I got my cup of coffee, and I have my glass of water, and I just had a little bit of my Greta stew. Now, you might be asking yourself, dear listener, what is Greta stew? Yeah, Greta stew. what is Greta stew? Greta stew is an amalgamation of whatever things you can find by the wayside, on the sidewalk of your own living nightmare. Greta stew is a mash of insects and dead raccoons and whatever road apples are out there. If you don't know what a road apple is, well, maybe you know it as roadkill. But every southern boy knows it as lunch. Greta stew is made up of all sorts of proteins and greases and oils. Greta stew contains everything you need, the vitamins and the minerals that you need to survive, rather, only to survive, not to thrive, not to live, not to enjoy life, not really to exist as what you are. And what you are, if we're all being honest, if we take off, even if I take off my hat labeled Christian and put it on the table, what we are, if we're honest, and let's be honest, because Uncle Dan loves fucking honesty. And if not honesty, the easy ability of every listener to figure out if I'm fucking with them. Greta stew. Greta stew contains what you need. It doesn't contain what you want, but maybe it doesn't even contain what you need. It is honorably named after Greta Thunberg, the amazing autistic 16-year-old white girl going around the world describing who the witches are, where the witches are located, and what we must do to the witches once we find them. Exactly. We have to find the witches, identify the witches, but we all get to have Greta stew. I was thinking about the great white sharks. Now, I know you guys get a lot of propaganda from the Weather Channel, and I would ask you that if you're going to be critical of the climate change freaks, you also need to be critical of these fucks on the Weather Channel. No fucking offense. You need to be critical of them. Just because the climate change freaks are lying to you does not imply, logically or otherwise, that the corporate guys on the Weather Channel, aka Raytheon, are telling you the truth. There is no connection there, folks. None at all. There is no logical way of saying because little Greta's crazy, and I think she's crazy as fuck, and yes, she's going around pointing out witches, but that doesn't imply that the climate change story is bullshit. Now, if you watch the Weather Channel, they've had some episodes where they've talked about sharks, you know, sharks making a comeback. Because, and their evidence for this is funny. I think it's funny. And I've spoken about this before, but it's worth talking about in the context of this first topic. There have been more shark attacks. So people say, well, shit, there have been more shark attacks. There must be more sharks. Not necessarily. There could be more shark attacks for the simple fact that they're running out of food. Now, I know that's an uncomfortable topic because whatever your opinion of climate change, what you all gotta know is this: Uncle Dan is no fucking fool. I'm not gonna believe some jackass because he's on TV, but I will believe with my own eyes the absolute destruction, the carnage of an ecosystem, the Puget Sound that I grew up around. It's not the same. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And so, whatever the fucking cause, and folks, everybody has an explanation every 15 fucking minutes. Whatever the cause, this is quite bad. But I don't want to be too serious. The thing is, these sharks are attacking people, and according to the Weather Channel, it's because, you know, there's so many more sharks. That's bullshit. In fact, what we're probably seeing is the last scream of a species. Like, quite literally, the last thing the sharks will do once they run out of everything else is they are going to attack people. And you know what? I almost wanted to say God bless them. Not that I want people harmed in any way directly. It's more like we have been so fucking stupid. We have so taken for granted this beautiful, beautiful planet that, yeah, I think maybe a few elephants and a few great white sharks going crazy might wake up some fucking people. But then again, a lot of people think it's the pole shift. Some people think it's some type of solar minimum. Others are blaming cosmic rays from the center of the galaxy. And like I said, whatever it is, let's wake up. If it's natural, let's have a conversation about that. Because, folks, even if it's natural, the consequences could be terrible. It does not matter if it's natural, folks. It's bad. I mean, let's talk about the pole shift thing, and you need to meditate on this. Right now, around the Arctic Circle, there's enough methyl hydrate in situ, in a stable zone, okay, to basically cook the Earth. But if you add in all of the organic matter that is no longer frozen, and guess what? During a pole shift, the three things that keep methyl hydrates from boiling off, temperature, pressure, and not being shaken by like earthquakes, those three things cease to be fucking true. And so, like shaking a fucking champagne bottle, probably if the pole shift becomes catastrophic, and it probably will, because folks, I hate to break it to you, But continuity is a fantasy of Leibniz and Newton. In the real world, things are really very discontinuous. Oh, no one fucking told you that? When your girlfriend broke up with you? You might want to think continuity is the thing of the world, but in reality, in the physical world, it's all about discontinuity. So, anyways, folks, I'm not going to beat up on you because I know I got some people listening to me who believe that there's a natural explanation for everything I describe that's happening in the Puget Sound. And I'm not going to say you're wrong. I don't know that you are wrong. You could be right, but even if you are right, we still need to have some fucking conversations voluntarily. Let's not invite the government. In fact, if I were going to say, let's have a conversation about the ecosystem of the Earth, if I were that facilitator, I don't believe in rulers, I don't believe in kings, but if I were that facilitator, I would do what the clever monkeys at the end of the 30 Years' War did. They asked, they politely fucking asked at the Peace of Westphalia in 1648, the end of the last religious war in Western Europe, they politely asked, dear Pope, dear Pontiff, dear pseudo representative of Christ on earth, when in reality we all know you're zombie Rome, you don't have to visit. You don't have to come. We're not inviting you to this peace. We don't want you here. You will not help us make a peace. You will simply breed more hatred and more fucking Jesuits. If I had a conference for ecology, I would not invite one fucking government. Now, I might invite people who work for the government if they are people who have the credentials of honesty and truth, who want to have an honest conversation about the state of the world. But the fact is this, inviting the government would be like the fucking people of Europe after the end of the 30 Years' War, one of the worst wars in European history. Almost as bad. That period was almost as bad as the 14th century crisis, and I have to tell you something. The 14th century crisis was pretty fucking bad. And they politely said, dear Mr. Pope, dear Mr. Pontiff, dear Mr. Rex Mundi, who really is probably representing Satan and not Christ, please don't attend. And fuck you. Now, I don't think they said fuck you, but I would have said that. And with respect to fixing whatever we need to fix voluntarily, and if the answer is we don't need to do anything, that's fine. But with respect to having that conversation, the one group I do not want invited because they are the ones, if we're in this mess, they are the likely culprits, is every fucking government on earth. They need not attend, okay? Unlike little Greta, unlike the little witch hunter from Sweden, I would not go before the bastards who likely cook the earth to ask them to stop. That's fucking stupid. It's idiotic. And frankly, it's another proof that she's bullshit. Okay? The last group of people on earth you want to go to say, please, let's stop polluting are the governments. The number one polluter on planet Earth, the number one is the United States military. Wake the fuck up, little Greta. And in terms of nations, you really can't have a conversation about pollution without talking about China. I'm not going to beat up on China, but let's not pretend that they give a shit about their rivers or their streams or their lakes or the oceans that are nearby. I don't think the government, and let's say the government of China does not give a fuck. You ever hear of the Great Leap Forward, little Greta? You ever hear about that? The government ground the people of China to dust during the 50s and 60s to build a few fucking dams. And Mao Zedong killed tens of millions of people to do it. That was the Great Leap Forward. And you are going to exclude that government from the people you're going to talk to. Doubly, doubly ridiculous. Now, like I said, that doesn't prove that nothing's going on. In fact, it could prove the opposite, folks. I hate to break it to you, but man, the deep state loves to use clowns. They do. They love to use freaks who will go in front of an issue like climate change and look like freaks and in that process just make the whole thing seem stupid. They invalidate the discourse. They make it illegitimate. Anyways, back to the Weather Channel or the weather networks and all these people talking about sharks attacking people and how that's proof that sharks are making a comeback. No, they're not, folks. Their food supply is crashing. But I was thinking, like, if you were going to make, imagine if the sharks were kind of like us in a way. Like, in a way. Like, imagine that they could, if they could, make a horror film about us. Because here's the thing, you think about Jaws, and Jaws seems scary to us, but in reality, we've been chewing up sharks. I mean, we've been killing them left and right. So when you think about it, statistically, the apex predator of apex predators, which is Homo sapiens, yeah, that's you and I, folks. I'm so sorry that we're having that honest conversation about how we are predators. It seems like you'd have a movie where the sharks are basically, they're all just sitting in some reef someplace. Hey, Bob, how's it going? Oh, Trish, it's not so bad. I found a little grouper not far away. It only had seven tumors. Well, that's really great, Bob. I've been eating gumbus that comes out of that tube from the great city beyond. Trish, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not good for you. And Bob and Trish, these two sharks, are sitting in this reef, the dying reef, and they hear something above. They hear a motor in the distance. It's quiet. What is that, Bob? I don't know, Trish. It's the oh my God, it's the people. Listen, they're more afraid of us. They're more afraid of us than we are of them. I don't know, Trish. A friend of mine named Carl was hunting some salmon in the Pacific Northwest. And these dudes in a boat came by and tossed a stick of dynamite at him. And Carl, he was never the same because he was dead. You see, that's the thing, folks. If you made a horror movie, an accurate horror movie about the relationship between sharks and people, it wouldn't be a couple people in a boat being chased by a great white. It would be a great white being chased by a bunch of fucking people. You see, all of a sudden, when you change it around, when you change the conversation, because the conversation has been hijacked by people that want to turn you into a slave. Okay? This is the part of the global warming is bullshit that I totally get. Okay? There is a total socialist, Marxist, statist, globalist agenda that has used or hijacked this issue. I don't know if it's used or hijacked. Could be used, could be developed, could be created, could be hijacked. I have not made a decision. I'm so sorry that I have not personally made a decision on what's killing the Puget Sound. I really don't know. There is a murder mystery. Something is killing the Puget Sound. I'm pretty certain the culprits are people, which includes me, but how we're doing it, I haven't really decided. And if your contention is that the ocean is a giant toilet into which we can dump as much shit as we want to, I really think you need to imagineer yourself past that. I really do. A lot of libertarians and anarchists will approach this issue and in such a way that it totally lacks virtue. Just because you have a piece of property doesn't mean you should fucking buy several pounds of uranium and build your own private fucking fucked up redneck reactor and kill your neighbors. Okay? There are things you should not do. And guess what? No amount of government prevents people from being terrible. If anything, government provides the shield, the magic carpet ride. Some neighbor says, "Why are you building your half-ass redneck fucking reactor?" And the neighbor says, "Well, they just passed a law. They just passed a law bringing back free-range nuclear." And so it's legal, man. And if it's legal, it's right. No. Legal does not equal right. It doesn't. I know a lot of people think it does, and that's what's scary about living in the world today. If you were making an honest and true movie, horror film, about humans vis-a-vis anything else, you would flip the script. It wouldn't be viruses killing people. It wouldn't be bacteria killing people. It wouldn't be colonies of ants or colonies of bees. I hate to break it to you, but I think all of those movies, including Jaws, including Moby Dick, are basically psychological versions of projection. Okay, we're looking at these animals and we're saying, holy crap, these tigers and bears, they're monsters, and the wolves are going to chase us down. Think about every horror movie you ever saw about one or more animals killing people. And it's like basically we're powerless against them. What a load of bullshit. Yes. One-on-one, if I had to face off a crocodile, and let me tell you something, it's why I use that as my metaphor for government. If I had to go to the outback of Australia and face a crocodile one-on-one, Uncle Dan would die. I'm just being blunt. A saltwater crocodile from Australia is a monster. It would kill me. I would simply be dead. It doesn't matter if I laid out a chessboard or a go board or a monopoly board or even said, let's play dominoes. The crocodile would just immediately knock over the table and eat me. It doesn't really matter what your opinion is about, well, I'm smarter than a crocodile, and I'm smarter than the government. You might be smarter than the entire government combined, but it is a 50 trillion ton crocodile, and it will kill you. It does not ma It doesn't mean give up. It just means be fucking smart, especially if you're an anarchist. Be smart. Don't be stupid. If you're going to wage a battle, if you're going to choose a battle, make sure it's worth fighting. And if you're going to fight the government in any way whatsoever, make sure you have a plan B. And frankly speaking, a good plan B is not, killing yourself. Me personally, I say you try to practice some of the, I don't know, some of the philosophical aspects of catalaxy and counter economics, and try to find a way to participate voluntarily with others while this monster called government exists. But yeah, anyways, I don't want to go off on that tangent. But that's kind of the thing, folks. When we're evaluating who we are, okay, little Greta wants to convince you that you are a cow. This is part of the faulty paradigm of the left vis-a-vis the environment. This is really flawed. Really flawed. It makes no sense in terms of biology. It makes no sense in terms of conservation theory. It makes no sense in terms of ecosystems. To classify a human as an herbivore is about the stupidest fucking thing you can possibly fucking do. We are not just predators. I keep saying this because we need to hear this. If we're going to have conversations about the ecosystem, we need to know what we are. We are the predator of predators. Maybe not one-on-one, maybe not Uncle Dan wrestling a grizzly bear, but I promise you, we kill and eat everything. And if you're too fucking dull and stupid in the head to see this, if you can't imagine this, then imagine a painting. I've seen this painting. Some of you have too. There's a painting of cavemen chasing buffalo, chasing freaking woolly mammoths towards a canyon where they all fucking go into the canyon and die. Okay? Now, you can ask yourself what you think we are in that fucking painting. I say we are the smartest fucking predator that ever arrived on planet Earth. And yeah, we're so fucking smart, we may have fucked ourselves. We don't know yet. Could be pole shift, could be solar minimum. It doesn't really matter too much, though, because nature always has the last laugh. I want to switch topics, but I get it. I get the skepticism of the whole global warming thing. I'm right there with you. I simply haven't decided that the whole story's bullshit because I have been fooled too many times by the people that claim to know the truth. And the fact is, I have accepted the possibility that most of the people I know, including friends and family, are so filled with lies that if you listen to them, you run the risk of believing some of the shit they believe. You have to be careful, folks. Just don't assume because little Greta is a freak that the whole climate change issue is a non-issue. Just don't assume because Al Gore is a hypocritical piece of shit that somehow there's nothing to worry about vis-a-vis the Arctic. There are things probably to worry about, even if it's not human-caused. Next topic. Next topic is asking for permission to be free. Is one of the weirdest things to get over. You know, my last stop on the freedom train was libertarianism, and I was a libertarian for a few years. I wanted to believe that what so many libertarians, God bless them, still believe. That if you put the right people in charge of the crocodile, and when I say crocodile, you know I mean government, if you put the right people in charge of it, it will go on a diet, it will lose weight, it'll focus on bad people, you know, it'll focus on crimes that actually have victims. Yeah, that's a nice dream. I love that dream. It's not realistic. So my last stop was libertarianism. And the thing about that last stop is you still have that belief inside of you that freedom is something you need to ask for. Like, please, sir, may I have some more? Dear sir, may I have a little more liberty? And the answer is maybe. It's like voting your way to freedom. I know that there are people who believe this. I've talked about this. If you want to keep doing it, feel free. I drink too much beer, so I am in no position to judge people for doing stupid shit. Okay? If you want to fucking every 2 years get really stressed out about whatever freak is going to go to the crocodile and ask for more shit so you get what you need, fine. If you want to vote for someone that will supposedly put the crocodile on a diet, that is the most futile exercise in human history because never has a crocodile done that. Two things are true. A, never in the history of crocodiles have they ever, ever, ever gone on diets voluntarily or through voting. Okay, never. They never do it. They might even retreat a little, but they always come back. The only way crocodiles have ever shrunk is through death, like the Roman Empire or the Soviet Union. Crocodiles don't go on diets. Crocodiles crash. And no steel frame building in the history of steel frame buildings ever did what those three buildings did on 9/11. I know it's random to mention that, but think about it, folks. People hold on to these strange beliefs. Why do people believe that the crocodile is going to go on a diet? It's never happened before, okay? It's never happened. The only way it ever shrinks is if it's dying. And sometimes that death can be slow. For example, the Eastern Roman Empire technically didn't crash until 1453 when the Turks scaled the walls of Constantinople. And no, it's not Constantinople no mo. It's Istanbul. Asking for permission to be free is crazy, but I get it because it's the last stop. If you're a minarchist, it's part of your philosophy. Part of your philosophy is that you kind of still have to ask for permission to be free. You still have to go to somebody and say, "May I do this?" And the minarchist will say, "No, no, no, Dan. We just want the crocodile to deal with, you know, crimes that have victims." But folks, you know, I'll make you a deal. if there was some magical way by which you could make this happen, if you really believe this, if you could convince me, I might even vote libertarian again. But it's never going to happen. I'm not going to ask for permission to be free. I was given my freedom by somebody a little bit more powerful than Gary Johnson or Ron Paul or Bastiat or Rothbard or Ayn Rand. You want to know who gave me my freedom? It was Jesus Christ. It was the Lord in heaven. So ask me if I'm ever really going to give it up. Yeah, I got to play with the crocodile. I have to play with government. We all have to. We have to avoid it. You know, it's kind of like when you're out in the woods. Think about the predators, okay? The crocodile is a predator. You need to know that humans are predators. There goes a helicopter. Hello, helicopter. Somebody just, yeah, had a bad day. I'm on the, just to go off on a side topic, I'm on the flight path for SeaTac, but I'm also on the flight path for the Level 1 Trauma Center here in Seattle, in King County, Harborview. And so I'll get these Life Flight helicopters going by. And this is anecdotal, but there's been a lot more of them recently. And the thing is, I used to do healthcare finance, so I kind of know roughly how expensive this shit is in terms of insurance, health insurance. Yeah, there's a lot of money being racked up on Life Flight right now. A lot of people, and a lot of these flights seem to be coming from the east. That doesn't mean anything. That's part of the flight pattern, probably. But my instincts tell me maybe that it's more than that. Like there might be some rich people, some billionaires, quote unquote, sarcastic quotes intended, living on that Mercer Island, living the high life. And their credit default swaps just went belly up. All their investments in WeWork are going sideways. Their wife is going to leave them and take the kid. Yeah, I hate to break it to you, dude. She wasn't in it for you. And here comes another helicopter. She wasn't in it for you, buddy. She wasn't in it for you. I'm sorry. Yeah, even with the window closed, these things are fucking loud. Don't ask for permission to be free. I went off on a tangent there. I didn't complete the thought because of the thoughts around the Life Flight helicopters. Don't ask for permission to free. I'm not going to. The Lord in heaven gave me my freedom. Period. Next topic. Neocon shuffle. What is the neocon shuffle? Well, let's just say there are different kinds of dances they do. Remember back in 1990, right after Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, there was this whole thing about sending James Baker to fucking Iraq to fucking make peace and everything else. That was all bullshit. Okay? They had to do it. There is this dance, this neocon shuffle they have to do. And so when you're thinking about what's going on with Iran right now, overlay the calendar of 1990 and 2003, because I'm telling you, if they're following this storyline, because there's two storylines. One of them is what I call the snap kick, and that's when they go immediately to worst case scenario because they know they've lost control. I think thankfully that's not going to happen. That means we're in the neocon shuffle. And what the neocon shuffle means is there's not going to be a snap kick. What will probably happen is over the next 6 months, probably maybe even 3 to 4 months, because I think they want to do this before the year is out. They're going to slowly convince us that Iran is terrible, that they want to kill you, that they have missiles that will hit, you know, New York and shit, that they want to nuke Israel, and if you're a Christian, you have to love Israel. They're going to be fucking spreading this shit over the next 3 to 4 months. They're going to be spreading it pretty fucking thick. Now, I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch CNN. You want to know why I don't? Because I also don't eat other people's shit. I know that there are people out there who have fetishes that involve opening their mouths and having people shit into them. Because I don't enjoy that fetish in the real sense. I don't like it in the figurative sense, which means I don't listen to Fox News or CNN or NPR or Talk of the Nation or National whatever, PBS. I don't listen to them because I also cannot conceive of it ever being enjoyable to have someone shit in my mouth. But what I will tell you, if you're a listener to Fox News or CNN or any of that bullshit, they're going to be spreading this thick on all sides. You have to understand something. Whatever party you think you vote for, there is one party that rules in Washington now, and it has ruled there for decades. It is the War Party. There is one party that rules in Washington State. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It is the War Party. If you're confused, you need to fucking wake up. Over the next few months, and it might only be a few months, it's hard to say. But over the next few months, they are going to raise the temperature. It's going to be like by the time we get to Christmas or even Thanksgiving, maybe even Halloween. That's scary. My fellow Americans. This is the Orangutan King. I have told you over and over again that we have tried to make peace with Iran. I'm sorry, it's pronounced Iran. As of now, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on October 31st, 2019. I have ordered the Navy to launch cruise missiles, large rockets, fighter jets and bombers, and even that new rail gun that fires mutant French bulldogs, all of which are firing their weapons at Tehran as we speak. It's terrible. The screams in the night, the fires of the dead light up the night. This is your president, the Orangutan King. Anyways, I don't know if Trump will give a briefing like that on Halloween, but the point is, this is the neocon shuffle, and you're not going to get toasted overnight. A few weeks ago, I thought this was going to be a snap kick. I thought this was going to be a lot like, well, frankly, other events in American history like Pearl Harbor or 9/11. I really thought they were going to do a snap kick. But to do a snap kick, you have to have a major false flag. And it's possible that the Saudi event was meant to be a snap kick false flag. Like, holy fuck, the Iranians just blew up the oil. We can't drive to Christmas. We can't drive to Christmas. Holy fuck. That is an actual thought in my head that I thought made sense because if you think about it, it's kind of fucking scary. We can't drive to Christmas. Jesus won't get in his SUV this year if we don't kill Iran, I mean Iran. The neocon shuffle is quite terrible, and I hope you are sensitive to it. If you voted for Trump, I get it. I've talked about this. I understand. It was between herpes and AIDS, or herpes and crabs, and you said to yourself, Trump is crabs, and Hillary's herpes, or Trump is liver cancer, and Hillary is pancreatic cancer. I don't know. You chose one cancer over the other. I fucking get it. I totally understand. But I hate to break it to you, it's the war party that rules. So if you want to understand what's going to happen next, listening to Trump without like reading between the lines will probably not help you. And if you think because he kicked John Bolton out of the White House, that somehow means he's doing what Q is telling us he's doing, and where we go one, we go all. Listen, that Q shit is bullshit. Okay? If there were actual MI officers, okay, Department of Defense intelligence officers, CIA, NSA type people, involved in some weird ass cabal conspiracy, and then leak their messages via some shadowy figure called Q or an entity, those people would be dead. I want to shake my head at the stupidity of my fellow Americans sometimes. They would be dead. If you think they wouldn't be dead, then what you're positing is that currently we are in an active state of civil war, but not the kind that we called the Civil War in the 1860s, which in truth wasn't really a civil war. It was actually a war between nations. Oh, sorry for that inconvenient fact. No, we would be in a civil war like Rome in the first century BC, where the elites are basically killing each other, but the rest of us can go and drive to Walmart, and Jesus can get in his SUV and show up for Christmas this year. And that might be true, but it is not very realistic. And I'll tell you something about civil wars in the Roman sense, which are the classic sense, which are the true sense. They create a lot of hullabaloo. So there would be a lot of noise. It's not like it would be some secret shit happening in some fucking dungeon palace with samurai swords. Are you stupid? I'm sorry. If you believe that nonsense, I'm trying to wake you up. It's nonsense. We are being marched on the neocon roadway. We are dancing the neocon shuffle. We are shuffling our neocon dance routine towards a war with Iran. I mean, Iran, whatever. And I am not here to tell you that I think Iran is a great nation of wonderful people. I don't even know the people. And frankly, we're not talking about the people. We're talking about the crocodiles, which means we're talking about the government. The government of Iran is arguably just as corrupt as our government, as corrupt as the Israeli government, as corrupt as any fucking crocodile. Okay? I don't play magical crocodile game anymore. If you want to tell me about your favorite fucking crocodile, well, Dan, I'm a Swiss citizen. Stop right there, you fuck. When the Swiss National Bank decided to trash the tradition, two traditions, A, backing up the franc with gold, and B, turning over private shit to the fucking crocodile named the USA, Switzerland became a douchebag paradise. So stop with your Switzerland bullshit. If you're going to come back to me with, I have a favorite crocodile, and its name is Ecuador, or Argentina, or fucking New Zealand. Every single government is by definition corrupt. Every form of government only exists through force. That's it. Which means, by definition, when you form a government, you're forming an army. We are slowly rolling our way through the neocon shuffle to a war with Iran. And I don't know if the American people give a shit or not. If you wanted to measure the temperature of the moral downfall of this country, all you would need to do is ask yourself, if on Halloween this shit happens, will anybody be in the streets? Will anybody be protesting? I'll tell you, I will probably make a sign and I will make my way down to Westlake and I will stand like a fool in the fucking streets. But realistically, given that the war party rules, even amongst these social justice warrior freaks, even amongst Marxists, okay? If you think Marxism's about peace, wow, you're deluded. Marxists love war. Why? Because it forces along the historical dialectic. And if you don't know what I just said, you're a really shitty Marxist. Which I think is probably okay because who wants to be good at that shit? Anywho, last topic. Last topic for this podcast. And the question looms, do I go with just one six-pack of Rainier today, or do I try to just keep it going? Like, honestly, folks, I don't think I'm an alcoholic, but I have truly been drinking too much because I've been in that place, and I need to break out of it. I've been in this place of where, and I know the Lord in heaven hates me for this. Oh, that's not true. The Lord in heaven loves me, but I know the Lord in heaven doesn't like it when I'm thinking like this, when I'm doing this, when I feel like it's hopeless. You know, you listen to somebody like Guy McPherson, and he really makes fun of the word hope. Like, it basically, for Guy McPherson, if you look up the word hope in the dictionary, right next to it would be some picture of somebody stupid. Like, okay, hope is about stupidity. Hope is about wishing, and wishing is stupid. You know what, folks? We are clever monkeys. We are apex predators. That's not about hope. That's about getting fucking real. Okay? And we need to forgive ourselves. But we also need to embrace the possibility that we're not dead yet, and there are still things we can do. We are noble predators if we give ourselves a chance. We are artistic as fuck predators. We are predators that also garden. We are predators that use our prey when we're doing it the right way to make the world a more beautiful place. We are predators that, yeah, we devour the earth. We blow mountains to pieces. All of these things are true. We drill tunnels into the earth. We do all kinds of strange things. We are predators that will suck the marrow out of the planet. But we can also do better. We have brains. We're intelligent. These are things we can do. All of this is possible, but we cannot give up on ourselves. And yeah, if you don't give up on yourself in this circumstance, it kind of means you have to believe in a little bit of hope. But before I let you go, I just want to emphasize this other dimension of being the apex predator, the noble predator, is you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive others. If you want to be able to forgive others for whatever you think is going on, you have to forgive yourself, and then you have to change your life. You have to make a decision. I'm going to do things differently. I'm not saying it's easy, folks. I don't know the answer. And before you do anything, let's just be clear. Before you do any goddamn thing, before you join a group or go to a protest or fucking sign up for some fucking petition, please do this one thing, and it's really, 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 really fucking critical. Do some fucking research. Okay? Don't just assume because some 16-year-old kid shows up, okay, on TV and says, "Folks, the world is ending." You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. Let's get off the forgiveness thing for a second. Let's dump hope by the wayside, just like Guy McPherson said. Yeah, that's a nice thing to do. Imagine you were living in a town in New England in the late 17th century, right around the time of the Salem witch trials. Okay? But it's not Salem, okay? It's not Salem, it's some nearby town. Because here's the thing, folks. Probably just about every town in the New World had somebody like Little Greta, and Little Greta would wander around. Now, we all know what happened in Salem when Little Greta wandered around Salem, pointing out witches, people had to die. And that was bad. But you know what? There were a lot of other towns where that shit didn't happen. Imagine an Arthur Miller play, but polarized in the sense of passing it through a polarized filter, like you're doing the opposite version. And instead of it being about little Greta going around town, pointing out witches and saying, "Fuck, that's a witch, burn her." Imagine it was the other towns where they had the little Greta, and little Greta would wander about, but people would just laugh. It's like, "Okay, little Greta, where are the witches today?" And little Greta would get upset and say, "Stop making fun of the witches." And that is the whole fucking play. Okay, there were towns in New England that did not go witch crazy. There were towns in New England that did not go insane because little kids were walking around telling them, "Burn the witches." That's a story we're not told. Why are we not told? Because it doesn't make news. Nothing bleeds. Nothing leads. We need violence. We need witches being burnt. God forbid we tell the other story where most people were rational and said, "What the fuck, kid? Why don't you go play?" Anyways, I think this podcast was a little bit inchoate, and for that I am apologizing. I have not given up on myself or the human race yet, but the last couple months, I think I came close again. I came close to going to one of those dark places where I would just say, "Fuck it. If the human race wants to kill itself," somebody just texted me. "If the human race wants to kill itself, then let it do it. If the human race wants to be so stupid that it marches down the road of slavery, then let them be slaves." You know what? Because I won't live in that world. I will be dead. I will never participate in that fucking world. Why? Because I'm already choosing not to participate in this fucked up set of arrangements. You think I'd participate in that one? You think that I would go from rejecting Willy Wonka and the Redmond paradise of magical cafeterias and beautiful little posters telling us about the angry white men of history? I'll tell you what, I would work there because the future version is going to be you do what you're told or you die. So if I'm not going to work at Willy's, why would I fucking have anything to do with that situation? I wouldn't. It doesn't appeal to me. And if that means I end up dead, I end up dead, and I don't give a fuck. That's the truth. But I want to believe in my heart that it's still possible for people to choose their own independence. It's still possible for people as human beings to declare their independence and then beyond that, to engage with each other, to voluntarily figure out ways to unfuck the world. I want to believe that's still possible, and that makes me crazy. So if sometimes I sound crazy, maybe that's where that comes from. I don't know. Anyways, I hope you guys have a great Thursday. Beware the clever monkeys in the boat. Beware the clever monkeys in the ship. To all the sharks and fish at sea, beware the clever monkey. And until we talk again, folks, feel free to be free. You don't need to ask permission.